34 verses 1. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Psalms 51 verse 10. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And finally, Psalms 63 verse 1. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water.
All right, thanks, Cole. So as we get started this morning, we are going to be staying within those verses today. But just to kind of give some thoughts and some context to what I was really thinking about with this lesson, over the last couple Sundays, Brad has led us into some really great conversations, especially around his study of Psalms 119. Two Sundays ago, Brad led a lesson that made us think about prayer and does dwelling daily in life look like? What does devotion to God look like? Then the following Sunday, Brad led us in a lesson about dwelling daily, about that thought of devotion. And I wrote really big on the bottom of my notes, I wrote, what will you fall back on when hard times come? And I was really thinking about that. That's kind of where Brad ended his lesson. So this morning, I'm also going to be using Psalms. Hopefully this is a complimentary lesson to what Brad has been studying with us. But this is what I've been thinking about and studying regarding the lessons that he's prepared for us. So I was thinking about these verses, but I am going to put some emphasis on studying David today. So of course, we know that those verses that Cole read came from David, and we're going to be looking at those. I'm also going to throw in Psalms 23 as well, as we're looking at this, because I would like to think about seeking God in every season. Now, one of the things that made me think about this lesson, kind of building from the lessons over the last previous Sundays, is Emma was doing a study of planets, and we were talking about the northern and southern hemisphere and what happens when the Earth tilts. And we were talking about, you know, when it's winter here, it's summer in Australia, right? So there's different things that happen at different parts of the planet. But we can normally think about our seasons, the seasons we normally consider. Now, I do see some funny memes sometimes that talk about the seasons in Ohio, where they'll talk about how it's spring, and then there's a false spring, and then back to winter, and then back to spring, and then right to summer. That's what it feels like in Ohio. It feels like it changes so quickly, right? It's supposed to snow tomorrow morning, starting at 1 a.m., right? So nervous about trying to get to the airport. But that's what we normally think of when we think about our seasons. But this morning, I'm not really thinking about these seasons per se. I'd like to actually look at David's life and try to build an idea of different seasons that we may run into as Christians. So I was kind of thinking about seasons of life. So when we think about our seasons, we may think of different things that we would face when we go through life. We can think about when our health fails, when a relationship breaks, when fear appears or uncertainty grows. We think about going through those things throughout our life. However, I'd like to take a look at David's life today and kind of think about something a little different. David just didn't only seek out God when life fell apart, but he continually sought God in good times, in bad times, sometimes when things were painful for him, and even when times were victorious for him. But when these different crises of faith come, what's that consistency in our life? Do we seek God when the need comes, or when we need rescued, or because we desire that constant relationship with God? Now, kind of keeping with our idea and themes of the season, I'd really like to think about David and just do a couple real quick thoughts of David before we start looking at his words here. So who was David? So we know from a lot of our stories about reading when we were kids, we learned about David. We can think about David and Goliath. We think about King David. I think about how Israel was built, right? And we have like the city of David. Most of those ruins are still there. So who was David? We know that he was a man after God's own heart. David was not a priest or a prophet when God chose him. David was a shepherd. Then he became a warrior. He became a king. But his life included amazing victories and very real failures. So what makes David unique is not his life and perspective, but it's how he viewed his relationship with God. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning. And I believe that that's why scriptures call him a man of God, because he always seeked him out. So I'm going to go back to the verses that Cole read this morning, and I'd like to think about how those were used and about how those acted in David's life. So when we think about those good seasons, in those good seasons, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continuously be in my mouth. Psalms 34:1. You know, David wrote praise not only after hardship, but during victories too. So some of the things that I just wrote to consider, the things that impacted David. So we talk about David defeating Goliath. David becomes a national hero. David experiences success and recognition throughout his life. Now, he did have hard times. He did flee from Saul. There was multiple things that happened in his life. However, but when success comes into our life, or when things are going good, do we think of God? Do we allow success to quietly replace our dependencies on God? Do we think, hey, everything's going well, and you might have heightened emotions, you might be happy. Do you think of God in those times? Do you think of going to prayer and praising God when things are going well? Because we know our alignment with God must be continue walk of life, to continue think of him. We don't want to just drift into this well-being, then all of a sudden when hard times hit again, we all of a sudden consider God. We want to consider him at all times. So do we pray less when things are going well? How about when we have multiple blessings? Do our thoughts and dependencies on God decrease? David teaches no matter what happens, we should be thinking about our successes should all be coming from God. We also think about the hard times in David's life. In Psalm 63:1, O God, you are my God, early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. We know that this psalm was written when David was fleeing for his life. So in his prayer, this idea, he doesn't necessarily ask for this escape. He doesn't complain about the circumstance that he's in life. He was thinking about following God. Many people think that they search out God for that specific solution. But David sought God's presence to be with him during this time where he was in the wilderness. Because if God is already living in our hearts, he should be with us, even when crisis comes up. We also don't want crisis just to expose it. It was already with David. Because when difficulty comes, our spiritual habits show. And I think about that a lot, especially with our previous two lessons about creating that habit. What will we fall back on when those times come? If we have a habit of that, if we have a practice of following God, that's what we would fall back on. I often think that I'm a Ohio cyber reservist, so I get called to active duty whenever there's a cybersecurity attack. And I think about common practices that keep people secure and companies secure are practicing those safe habits, kind of like stop, drop, and roll. Right? We know those terms because that's a practice or that's a habit that's been taught to us. But are we also learning a habit that we will also follow God when those hard times come. Do we also see God in broken seasons? In Psalms 51 and 10, we talked about, create in me a clean heart, O God. We see this after David's failure with Bathsheba here. David did not run from God, but he seems to implement that he ran towards him. Of course, this probably recalls some reflection and some time. But just from what I've been studying, I noticed this, no excuses, no blame, no hiding. And as we've been studying on Wednesdays with Moses, we talk about the excuses that Moses has had. About how he didn't necessarily felt like he was a leader or a good speaker. Where he felt like, why would they trust me? But God kept saying, it's me. It's me, not you. So I think of these things that happened with David. That faithfulness is not 100% perfection. We can see that because David fell into sin a few times, but he was still called a man of God. But it's when we fail, it's about returning back to God quickly. Because we don't want to stop praying when something bad happens. We don't want that brokenness not to lead us back to God. So brokenness can become that doorway back to closeness with God. I was also thinking, as you continue reading within Psalms 51, I know I'm just using verse 10 here, but it also picks up in verse 12 where it talks about, David mentions, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners shall be converted to you. Do we think that when we fall away from God, that we are returning to him so we can also understand his word, that we can go out and teach sinners? When studying this, I couldn't help think about the comparison between Saul and David. As mentioned many times, is I'm glad I didn't live in these times, because I'm pretty sure I would have been a sinner that would have been written about in the Bible. But I can't help to compare David to Saul here. And if you, just for a minute or two, I just want to compare these two thoughts. Because when I read back over this, I was thinking both of these men were approached by prophets. Both of them were told about the error of their ways. However, both Saul and David acted differently. And if I could, just for a minute, I would like to compare these two things. David in Psalms 51, we were just discussing, versus Saul in 1 Samuel 15. Just doing a quick comparison, I do recommend to go back and read over this. Jen and I have been talking about Saul for a little while and about kind of the decisions that he made. So this made me think of this comparison here. So with Saul, he was approached after a battle. He didn't do what God asked him to do. He didn't kill everyone like God commanded him to. He made some pretty poor decisions about doing a sacrifice, even though he did not hold a position that allowed to do a sacrifice. So when Samuel approached him, this is when Samuel said, God's going to depart from you. Right, and he reached out and he tore Samuel's robe when he walked away, and he said that God will be torn from you. Think about what happened there. I was considering this. Saul claimed that he was doing what God wanted him to do. He also shifted the blame to the people, saying, you are the one they told me to. You know, they convinced me to do this. You know, we studied this just a little bit when we were talking about like peer pressure or pressures we might get, right? Saul was pressured into these things, and he tried to instantly justify his actions, almost to the way that saying, oh, well, you know, God will forgive me. But that's not really what happened. We see that God departed from him, and we don't even read of Samuel ever really talking back to Saul after that point. Then you compare that with what David did. Now, Nathanael confronted David at this time. However, when we read this from Psalms 51, it seems to be very inward reflecting about where Nathanael confronted David, and David really didn't give an excuse, didn't give a blame, nor did he delay what was given to him. He knew that it was his problem, and he knew he needed to deal with it. So what was that outcome? We saw this kind of go back and forth. So what was that outcome that happened? Well, with Saul, we see that his kingdom was removed. His relationship with God was torn away. And we saw this spiritual issue happening with Saul. We saw this instability. We know that there was kind of like something that kind of plagued Saul, probably mentally, that happened from this. But David, we see that he asked for forgiveness. He was restored, and he was still called a man after God's own heart. Now, I know that there's a lot more research and thought that would need to go into this. This was just what I was considering as I was reading this over. And I think the idea is that the scriptures, we are to look at how to learn from others. And, you know, that's what I think a lot about when I read over the Old Testament. And I was thinking in Brad's study last Sunday, he said that those small steps, learning from other, how God grows in people from other individuals. So with that, I would like to read Psalms 23. I think a lot of us probably know this psalm. But I was thinking about this psalm, and I was thinking about how this reflects, and hopefully you can see it okay. I try to use consistent theming throughout the study today. And I would like just to think about this verse and this chapter and about thinking of those seasons. Oh Lord, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies and anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. With that chapter, I was thinking about God being with us at all points of our life and about us reflecting on those. So from Psalms 23, we think that it wasn't necessarily written for a single moment of time, but really about a lifelong relationship with God. We think about how the verse progresses about green pastures of peace and still waters of rest and dark valleys of fear and overflowing cups of the blessings of God. We can think about each of these things, that God's presence doesn't change within the circumstances of our lives. We can think about how we interact with God. So reading through this, I think about what season am I in right now? What do I reflect on? What season am I in my life? What am I going through that I need God's help with? And then if we think about that season, what would change if we sought God first? What if God was always with us and we didn't need to return to him because we were always with him during that time? Because our alignment with God is not just seasonal, it's relational. David's life teaches us to seek God's blessing. To seek God in the wilderness. We've been talking about the wilderness quite a bit on Wednesday nights. And about what is our wilderness. About what are those challenges of struggles of things we deal with. What about after failure? We know that we all seek and fall short of the glory of God. We know we all sin. We know that those failures will come up. Do we seek God in that uncertainty? How do we live this out? Do we establish that daily connection? Do we praise? I don't know why that one's kind of like messed up. That's right. Praise internally during God's season. Do we run towards God after a failure? Do we seek God himself? Not only his help, but do we have that relationship over rescue? So today, as we close out, we think that many people think of God as maybe an emergency situation, only called on necessarily when life breaks down. But are we looking at David's example? Are we thinking about how it shows a deeper understanding as we've studied that we should always be with God? To not think of him as a last resort, but maybe a constant companion we have throughout this life. So the real question is not, do we believe in God during crisis? To me, the real question is are we walking with him when there's no crisis at all? Do we think of, I will bless him at all times? Not sometimes, not when we're afraid, but at all times, are we seeking him? So as I close the lesson today, I was thinking about, are we thinking about God in all times? Are we a child of his? Are we truly walking with him? If you are not and would like to become a child of his, to think about how important it is that God is in our lives at all times. You will always have an opportunity to come to God. I'm pretty sure that any one of us, if anyone was ever wanting to be baptized, it does not matter the time of day, to let any of us know. But are we with God? Because God will bless us all the times. Not sometimes, not when we're afraid. But we should be looking at God and studying his words at all times. If anybody would want any prayers for the church or have any want to be baptized or any conversation they would like to have, we know the invitation is always open, and come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.